What is the difference between a master and a slave? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What's the difference between a master and a slave? Well, I have one of our students who is in prison, and we told you about him, and he's in a wheelchair, and they're doing operations on his feet and on his legs and on him, and just really making a mess out of him. But he says they're doing good stuff, and that's good. Okay, well, every time he calls, he has to tell me the latest news on his operation or the latest news on his experiences in the hospital or with the people, the doctors there and in the prison and so forth. Well, I told him, stop talking about that. Talk only what a master would say. I'm whole and perfect. I'm fantastic. I'm magnificent. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. My legs are whole and perfect. My feet are whole and perfect. Everything. See it. That's what a master does. A master doesn't see any limitation. Or if a master sees a limitation, zonk, he's got it. And if you've got it, you can be sure you're a master there. You created that good for you. Now, so, I told you a story. There was some person in the prison ward there who wanted to be transferred because he'd been borrowing a lot of money from people and he didn't have any money to pay him back. And he knew that if he couldn't pay him back, they'd annihilate him, they'd kill him. And so he wanted to get shipped out of there. But he couldn't get shipped out of there because he didn't, as far as the guards do anything wrong. So our prisoner knew this. And he knew that this guy was having these troubles. And he calls himself a master and stuff like that. But this guy came up to him and said, well, you're an easy mark. I'll just knock your block off. You know, I'll just slug you. And then the guards will ship me out of here because I'm a bad guy, you know. But not bad enough to make it worse for me, you know. And so what happens? He hit Joseph right in the face. Bam! And Joseph looked at him and thought, my God, what is this? And so Joseph, without thinking, returning to his attitudes of yesterday before he was a master, returning to his attitudes of kill or be killed, you know, returning to his attitude of the survival of the fittest, you know, he reached out with his arm in such a jab, with such a punch, with such a blow, that he immediately dispatched this guy, and he fell over backwards and fell out flat on the floor, and he had the wind out of him, and he couldn't get up for a moment. And the guards came over and had to take both of them and put him in custody. You know, they were already in custody. And Joseph told me on the phone about it. He said, you'll probably get a 115 because the guy shouldn't have hit somebody in a wheelchair, but I shouldn't have hit back at him either. And I said, Joseph, you don't want to come home. You don't want your parole to come up soon. You don't want to be out of prison. Because if you're going to get out of prison and somebody out of prison is going to shake your boat, you'll be back in there real quick. Real quick. Because out of prison, you've got a little more freedom to do naughty things. And you don't want to do that. If you can't control yourself and be a master in prison, you can't be a master out of prison. And this is true for all of us. If we can't be a master when we got a problem, we can't be a master when we don't have a problem. Because when we don't have a problem personally, we'll go seeing other people with problems. We'll see problems around the world. We'll see people who are sick and people who are in war, people who are having problems. Now, just as an illustration, you're a master. All of you are masters, okay? And you look at the world around you and you see the ozone layer being depleted in the sky. You see carbon dioxide building up at a very unhappy rate. You see the lack of gasoline and the lack of other utilities to make for harmonious living. You see. Okay. Now, if Jesus were to come along and walk in your shoes, see your world, what would he see? What would he see? Would he see people who were poor? He would see people who chose not to have a lot of money. And the minute those people chose to have money, they would have it. He sees people who chose to have illnesses. And the moment they chose to be whole and perfect, they're whole and perfect. He sees the ozone layer up in the sky with a big hole in it, and he says, gee, that's interesting. And he says, blink, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the ozone is in divine order. And he says, you know, I really don't care about these schlucky people. Schlucky people. People who are sick. Schlucky people. Jesus would look at them and say, I am whole and perfect, and you are too. You're whole and perfect too. You don't have a right to be not whole and perfect in my world. That's what Jesus would say. He would say, you don't have a right to be poor in my world. You don't have a right to have problems in my world. Everybody in my world, and I'm a master, Jesus would say, everyone in my world is perfect like I am. Now, what are you doing about this, huh? How are you handling the ozone layers and the poverty and the wars? How are you handling it? You say, oh! Are you reading about it in the newspaper and the television and so forth? And are you saying, oh! Yes, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. And you are compounding. You are exacerbating. You are building up this case of the negative. Remember our song? You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, accentuate the positive, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Now, who is Mr. In-Between? Mr. In-Between is that doubt. Mr. In-Between is the illusion that it appears to be the illness or the war, or that it appears to be this one. What does Jesus see? If we're all the Christ, whether we like it or not, and if we would look with the eyes of the Christ, which we are, what would we see? We would see all in perfect harmony, all in beauty, all in right action, all in peace, right now, right now. And I told this to Joseph, too. I said, Joseph, you don't have the authority from me to see any problems in prison. You only have the authority from me to see you getting ready to come home on parole, getting ready to put your house totally in order inside and outside of prison. That's all you have. Herb, I like that. I like that. I said, well, that's up to you. I said, you're my reflection of that perfection. And if you want to look to another master, another teacher, another attitude, that's okay. If you want to look to a sock in the nose, that's okay, if that's what you really want. Now, is that what you want? No, 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 no. Well, then stop telling me about it. People say, I say, don't come and tell me your problems. Come and tell me your solution. Well, Herb, I got to talk to somebody about my problem. Don't tell me what your problem is. Now, if your solution is more illness, then you can come talk to me about your illness. That's fine. Because you want more illness. If your problem is, your solution is having more unhappiness in your life, more lack, limitation, more unfriendly people in your life, well, tell me all about them. And I'll say, good. You say, I have a broken leg. Wonderful. Let's try for two. You know? Oh, Herb, you are an idiot. You've heard me say that before. Now, I'm not. I am a master looking at other masters. For a master can only see another master. Now, what are you? Are you looking at me as a master, or are you looking at me as a slave? Are you looking at me as someone who is put down by the world, or who lifts up the world? Am I the master or the slave? Am I the one who is under, or am I the one who is over? And I am over. I'm over all the universe, and I see it good and very good. Now remember that. You have not the permission to act in any way other than what you say you are. And if you say you're a master, then act like it. If you say you're a slave, then act like that. And I would say, many of you have done a very exquisite job of being slaves. You could get a job in any theater of being a slave because you're doing it so beautifully. Now, is that something to be proud of?
No.
If you want to be a slave, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
If you want to be a movie star and your role is a slave and you can play the role very well, then go for it. But if you want to be a master, if you want to be a master, then you wake up and you say, I like me, I like me, I like me. I'm divine order. I am peace. I like me, I like me, I like me. I'm divine order. I am peace. And now, Ellen is going to go into town to take care of her wonderful traveling gown. And she's going to see what can be found as she makes her wonderful round of all of the beautiful stores, because she has her suitcase under her bed waiting to be packed with her clothing to go on her cruise ship trip. And she doesn't want to just go on one cruise ship trip. She wants to go on several. She'd like to take a round the world one. She'd like to take, yeah, see, there she is. She'd like to take one up and down the coast here of California, Mexico. She'd like to go to Hawaii, you know, or out to New Zealand.
Oh,
you know.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And then she'd invite Anita to come aboard and be her
governess,
her companion,
yes,
her companion as the two of them tour the world and look at the world and have a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a ball? Now, remember, you don't want to take anybody along who's got a problem. So if somebody's got a problem that they think something is right or wrong or going to judge you, leave them home.
Oh, yes.
If somebody thinks that you're spending too much money, leave them home. If somebody thinks that you're not spending enough money, take them along. and you'll have a good time. Because who's the master and who's the slave? Yeah. Remember that. I love you. I love you.
I love you.